Okay, am I on the air now? I don't hear a darn thing. Talk to me. If I'm on the air, Seth will say you're on the air. Seth, say you're on the air.
You're on the air.
Okay. I have nothing prepared to be on the air for 55 minutes because the time allotted to preparing last evening was eaten up by spending 2.5 hours with Southwest Airlines and their new websites and their new programs, just booking a couple of flights using their new Rapid Rewards program, which is the ultimate in screwing. So I guess I'm not able to keep my own advice and not be screwed, because it seems that I used to have 8 credits towards a round-trip flight anywhere on Southwest Airlines, and I needed 16. If I do the arithmetic properly, that means that I had 50% of a free round-trip flight. However, a gentleman named Gary Kelly has been elected president of the airline, and he's a bean counter. If you look him up on the internet, he's a CPA, 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 audit, audit, audit. I don't know what he knows about flying on airplanes, but he certainly knows numbers. And the fact is that my 8 credits of the 16 I needed to get my free round-trip flight anywhere has been converted under Gary's new program to points. What does that mean? I just got screwed. Why? Because instead of having 8 credits towards 16 for that round-trip flight, I have approximately, give or take, 2,500 points now. Points. Can I get a round-trip flight with that or half of one? No. I see how many points would I need. I would need, depending on where the flight is, somewhere between 10 and 15,000. Let's take the middle, 12,500. So now it seems I have, what, 1/6 or 1/7 of a flight, 15 to 18%, whereas before I had 50. So I remarked to the several young ladies and one gentleman I spoke to, I just got screwed. Oh, no. And they gave me what they always give me, that during the year of the rabbit, me being the rabbit, and the month of the chicken, that the credits will turn into some type of pseudo points, and for each $8.27 American, Chinese yuan will be different, I will get so many tenths of a mile. So between Gary, the CPA president of Southwest Airlines, and a bunch of Philadelphia attorneys and a few New York accountants, they'll figure out how it is that I was screwed. Suffice to say that you're not going to be getting what you think you're getting with Southwest Airlines. I'm sure they'll be on the phone with me next week. Anyway, getting on to the program itself, I think I have 12 people listening, maybe 13. They've been encouraged to call in. This is not about what I want to talk about. I will give you examples of things where people are being screwed and how they're being screwed. But I'm basically talking on the air because, A, I'm garrulous. Look that one up. It's right next to loquacious, which is next to something else that says he talks a lot. What I hope to do is encourage people who listen, all 12 of them, to call in and talk to Seth, who's the producer, and tell him what topics you want to hear about. And you can call in and talk to me about them, ask me questions, and I'll give you some answers that may or may not help you. In a little while, I'm going to read a bunch of the topics that are examples. I really have had quite enough of the fat guy who's the conservative and the skinny guy who's the liberal for the last 8 or 10 years talk about Congress and the president and the Supreme Court, because I'm pretty old and I've lived through probably at the state level, the federal level, the city level, maybe a couple hundred reforms. They're going to reform. They're going to take care of us. They're going to stop the abuse, the corruption, and it just gets bigger. So I don't need that anymore. I want things that you're concerned about. And they have a toll-free number, and I think Seth answers, and it's 888-815-9756. They're probably not going to let me back on the air because my next comment is, why such a number? When I had a business, my number was 888-800-8000. Get something easy to remember. Anyway, Seth is probably jumping up and down at that one. Anyway, the topics will be anything that you want to talk about. And I was just beginning to make a list to give you some examples. Let me go to my handy-dandy little computer here. Where do I go and how do I go? All right, we have topics that are arranged by groups. And again, you don't have to write this down, even if you're interested. But we have topics about attorneys and the law. We probably have a half a dozen. We have a couple of dozen on businesses, how to start them, run them, do things in simple terms. Consumerism. Topics that may not interest you. Cops. Food and recipes. Not the typical recipes, not the typical food, but things that could help you. I do have a section on the government, but full of four-letter words, so we won't get into that. Health. There's some good little ones on health. In fact, one of the gentlemen who seemed to somehow be connected with BBS Radio just gave me a really good clue in a very simple manner of how to eat good foods. He said, arrange them in colors. Eat as many different colors as you can. I guess colors may be identified with certain nutrients. And let's see, what other areas do we have? We have investing. We call it gambling. You can call it investing. We have one here. Religion, we don't want to touch that. General survival. You know, how do you survive in this world? And a myriad of other minor things that come up from day to day. Now, anybody that wants to talk to me, of the 12, I think maybe one or two, and those are family members, they can call in and discuss what topics they want to hear. Those who want to listen to somebody else, fine. You'll notice that there was no introduction of music at the beginning of the show. The reason for that is, well, I think I can best explain it. There was a movie a long time ago, back probably in the 30s or 40s, maybe early 50s, set in Ireland, starring John Wayne, and one of the characters was an elderly, small, thin gentleman played by Barry Fitzgerald, who was quite an imbiber. And when he was asked if he'd like a free drink, he, of course, said yes, and they wanted to know if he wanted some water with it. And he stopped, and he said, when I drink whiskey, I drink whiskey. When I drink water, I drink water. Now, I feel that way as an audiophile. When I want to listen to music, I'll listen to music. When I want to hear talk, I'll talk. So unless there's some special reason, you'll never hear music on this show. I would like opinions. We're going to do some polls if you're interested. I'm slightly hard of hearing, but that being said, why is it that movies, a Discovery Channel, Nova, the people talking are being drowned out by the music in the background? The producer on this show is someone named Seth, who's a sound man. And I'm going to get into detail with him sometime about how he decides how loud the music should be. Because many of the shows I listen to, talk shows, to find out what they were doing, during the intro, there was so much loud music that it covered over the voices and I couldn't hear it. So I called in people who didn't have a hearing problem, and they couldn't make out the words either. Is it the result of the sound men today are letting computers tell them what people should hear? Now, the computer geeks, nerds, dweebs, whatever you call them, sitting up in their little ivory towers playing with the little ball type of mouse or the little joystick type, which gives an indication, I think, of their sexual lives, but somebody in the room is just blanching at that one. At any rate, are they controlling it all? Do they hear differently than we do? I don't know. But let me bore everybody with some subjects. We'll do it alphabetically. Under attorneys, and this is boring legal stuff, but it comes up whether you like it or not. If you decide you want to sue somebody, do you want to do it in small claims court or superior court? We can have a little discussion of that sometime, probably take no more than 10 or 15 minutes. A good one is how to beat the attorneys. That's a half hour or so, maybe 45 minutes, because it really tells you how the attorneys operate, what they do, and how they screw you. It doesn't take a lot of words to tell you that, but they do screw you. If anybody ever calls in about that, remind me to give you examples of how they become what I call semi-pathological liars. Another good one is how to win in small claims court, how to gain points with the judge. If you care about it, we have some, what we call a few horror stories about how attorneys have abused people, particularly seniors. So now that we've left the A's, attorneys, and legal, let's move on to what we can cover in business with some degree of data experience. If you're going to start a business, why are you doing it? What are the three ways you can get paid in business? The four very basic rules of business before you open one. How to avoid crashing down the financial cliff in business. That's another thing you want to know before you get into business. How to cancel contracts. Notice how this is running alphabetically. How to contain your costs. How to check credit and why you should never give it. The next one is for both business and personal. How to make a decision. Has anybody ever told you how to make a decision? Most of us say, oh, we made a decision. We didn't. Somewhere south of our navel, some parts of our body got together, disconnected to the brain, and decided that they wanted to do something. So don't confuse you with the facts. The decision-making process bypasses that and will probably up your success ratio considerably if you learn how to make a decision. Another one discusses real backgrounds, education, experience, and expertise. Employee evaluations is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing that comes from real life about various employees and how people have evaluated them. Some of them are pretty darn funny. They're not mine, but they're very funny anyway. What type of entity you might want in a business? What are the advantages of a corporation versus this, that, or the other thing? That's really not super important at the beginning, although most of the books I looked at last week at Barnes & Noble and How to Start a Business seemed to play around with the peripheral things. Didn't really discuss, hey, how do I sell my product or service? They were talking about accounting things. I guess they're connected to old Gary Kelly at Southwest Air. Let's not fly. Let's play a lot of games with numbers. That type of thing. What else do we have? We have how to really check out a facility. That's one of my favorites, seeing I bought a perfect house in Texas many years ago. Let them check it out, paid them to check it out, and then spent $35,000 in the first 3 months repairing it. So a lot of these articles that I write are not something that I read about theory. It's the things I screwed up on. And I wrote them down. That's the only difference, is I wrote them down. Another one we have here is a book called Further Up the Organization. Anybody that ever goes into business has to read Further Up the Organization, which is written in 1984. Go look it up. It's by a guy named Robert Townsend, T-O-W-N-S-E-N-D. Amazon probably sells it for $9.50. I don't buy from Amazon because I can't figure out how to do it. Another very confusing website that seems to want me to submit something rather than order. I don't know about you, but I like to order things or buy things. Internet geeks seem to want you to submit. Not that I don't submit. I've submitted resumes, resignations, and manuscripts. But I don't submit an order for a book. I mean, it's like, hi, are you willing to take my money and sell a book? Oh, the hell with you. You don't want my money? Use some other word. But that's geekdom. Anyway, Further Up the Organization was the same as the original book, Up the Organization, which was written in 1970. Bob Townsend revised it, not by changing the original book, but by adding some more chapters in 1984. It was not only a book on how to not screw up businesses, but it was also a predictor. It was the business Bible. It told you if you didn't stop, you were going to have a severe problem, which is what we're experiencing today. So if you get the book, it's an easy read. People who are in personnel, now called human resources, may not like it because that chapter says fire them. Of course, it also says fire public relations and purchasing, which may be a good idea. But anyway, get the book if you're going to go into business. Or even if you're not and you want to know why you're working for idiots, check it out. Then we have How to Evaluate Get-Rich-Quick Ads, How Not to Get Screwed by Them. How to Figure Out Which and Who and How You Want to Sell. We have an article on headhunters, on how to hire. We have a couple of real-life ones on these people in HR putting out job descriptions, which are just the most ridiculous thing I've ever read. We can probably do 45 minutes on that, and I'm sure people will have a lot of examples. What else do we have to annoy everybody in the world? Let's see, Japanese health camp, how the Japanese really beat us. Leasing, that's a good one, leasing. We have things about Murphy's Laws on computers, technology, and business, the usual standard fare. We may have one that nobody's heard before. We discuss overpaid CEOs. If you're going to start a business, is it product or service? What's the differences? How to purchase? What are the procedures? Why resumes are horse and buggy age? Why they're irrelevant? They should just take them all and burn them. Just a few other things, strategies, factors, so on. Just a minute. What? Now I'm being told by my other producer to go on to a new topic. Consumers. On consumer, we can give you some darn good advice from all of the people that we have helped over the years on how to buy condos, buy on the internet, cancel contracts, choose the best mortgage, figure out if a timeshare is right for you. I don't quite understand them myself. I mean, am I wrong? Hi, we'd like you to spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, or $30,000 to buy a part of something that in many states you really don't own for the privilege of trying to get to use it if it's in a popular spot for a week or two, a year, probably paying some type of price, and if you don't use it, you got to pay us a maintenance fee anyway. That all confuses me. And I just heard a beep. I wonder what that beep was. Anyway, let's see.
I have a question.
Now I hear a voice in the background.
I have a question for the Tasmanian devil.
Oh, really? Are you what's called a singer, somebody
like
I paid to call me?
No.
No?
I would like to ask you a question. Do you have any way to teach someone how to get on a budget and how to stay on it?
Okay, that's called money management.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who makes notes here. Maybe Seth does. Maybe somebody else. But they will make a note to do an entire show on money management and give the highlights.
Okay? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Your check will be in the mail. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. Seth, are you listening? Do I get to speak to you on this thing? Oh, okay. Am I getting boring yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, then I'll continue on with the list. Of course, people aren't writing these down. Let me skip through the consumer very quickly. We show you how to not co-sign things, who you should trust, how not to get money garnished if you get into a lawsuit, how to rent a car. You and I discussed briefly, for any of our people with money, and that isn't me, if you want custom clothes, how to find a real custom tailor, how to stop annoying telephone calls, surviving an IRS tax audit, and I've heard a rumor that as many as 29,000 agents have been hired by the IRS and are being dispersed not only to chase us around America, but are in Panama, China, and other places trying to get up enough money to keep Congress going. They need more money. What did I read the other day? The average congressman, that's either the House of Representatives or the senators on the other side, they gave a figure of $175,000 or $200,000 or something a year. Then I read another article that with all the perks they get, and I guess they get to hire their dog to guard the offices at night or something else, that the whole deal is really worth about $2.5 million a year. I don't know how accurate that is. And then I read somewhere else where the average congressman, whatever he's worth when he gets into office, he seems to be worth a lot more within a few years. Somebody on the radio the other day said that not only that, the senators are very bright people. They're even slightly brighter than the representatives because they average several percent higher than the rest of the world in investing in the stock market. I don't know how they have the time. And the senators do better than the reps. Maybe they're smarter, or maybe there's too many reps. I don't know. At any rate, what else? How to tell a truly class restaurant? Because that word class is thrown around to more dumps I've been in, particularly here on the West Coast. How to use the internet for your own purposes. I tried to ask the boys to run the station how I'm going to get sued. For example, let me digress for a moment to give you some of the types of things that we'll discuss. I've been screwed by everybody. And last summer, I think it was last summer, I decided that one of my businesses is I want to contact the CEOs, the top dogs, the presidents, chief operating officer, the big mother that's in charge, whatever they call them these days, of a bunch of companies in Southern California. So I set up an email. It said, "Dear CEO," catch that word, CEO. Oh, somebody's calling? They keep doing that. I must have paid a bunch of people a call. Who do I have?
Hi, hello. This is Jeanette.
Jeanette.
Hello?
Did I pay you to call too? God, I'm not going to have enough money.
What can I do for you? Sorry, I didn't. I was just wondering, did you want me to cross Southwest off the list for potential sponsors, or do you want me to just leave them on for now in case they...
Oh, no, no, just just leave them. We're not looking for sponsors. If you get sponsors, A, they have to pass my muster, and nobody does that, or rarely. Secondly, then you got to be beholden to them. For example, there used to be a great comic book that never took ads. It was called Mad Comic Books. Then it turned into Mad Magazine. Then it was bought by Engulf and Devour, and now they take commercials and ads, and they suck. So I don't think we're going to do that. Now, just let me know where to send the check. And what did I promise you, $2.55?
Yeah, $2.75, as a matter of fact.
$2.75,
so, yeah,
are you sure?
Let me know if you want me to make a spreadsheet.
All right, we will do a bit, okay? Somebody will write it down on why we shouldn't be paid by sponsors. It puts us in a conflicting situation. I don't want anybody paying
me money.
All
right, I'll email it to somebody.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Now, where was I? Oh, I was about to kill another potential sponsor. Anyway, I contacted an outfit, and I'll mention their name. I don't care. It's called usdatacorp.com. You have to be very careful because there's a few similar names to usdatacorp.com. This particular one is in Omaha, Nebraska. And I was dealing with their salesman somewhere around L.A., and the whole thing came together that for $2,500 with my special discount, and if I faxed a company check to them, which I was stupid enough to do, they would send out 10,000 emails to 10,000 CEOs of 10,000 hard product manufacturing companies in Southern California. So I sent them the money. They ostensibly did their job. And then they called me to congratulate me with their esoteric terminology, their geekies, that congratulations, we had an 8.713251% return, and we had a bunch of gabas and hits and Mahoney screws and other things happen. Congratulations. Money well spent. I said, really? I didn't receive one call. Well, we don't guarantee. I said, I'm not looking for a guarantee. I'm wondering why 10,000 CEOs didn't respond once. So I call somebody who has a connection at the San Diego County or City Chamber of Commerce, who came up with the email addresses of 32 CEOs in Southern California of hard product manufacturing companies. And I sent out the exact same email that these people allegedly did, and six of them bounced. Six from 32 is what? 26. Of the 26, I received four immediate responses and one delayed response. Now, you don't have to use algebra to figure this out. You can do simple arithmetic, like we did with Southwest. If 8 credits equals 16 and it gets converted to points, how come 2,500 points is only equal to 15,000 or some ridiculous amount? It doesn't add up. So at any rate, I went back to these people and I said, look, here's what I did, and I received 5 responses out of 26, and you're saying you got 0 out of 10,000. Who did you really mail these to? And I can produce the emails back and forth, and they kept evading the question. I call it dancing. Don't answer who, what, why, when, where, how many, how much. Dance around it. And they danced and danced and danced. And then they said, oh, wow, you can basically have us send it out again. I said, I'd like to see to whom you're sending it. Some examples. That's against our procedures. So, anyway, I've sued them in Nevada. I guess you can sue in any state where they advertise themselves. But it just shows you how an experienced, how not to get screwed guy gets screwed. My spouse said, wait a minute. When you fax a check, it's just like using a debit card, and that is like a credit card. You can challenge it. So I went to my bank. She had done this with Bank of America for another company that romanced her with these so-called mailouts for $350, and she retrieved her money. So I sent off, and Chase Bank had me send all kinds of information and data and answer questions and fill out forms for 2 weeks, only to inform me, oh, we can't do anything because it was a business check. I said, gee, my wife did it with Bank of America. Oh, well, that was a personal check. I don't know what the difference is. I guess if you send out a personal check, you're allowed to be a moron and get screwed. But if you're a businessman, you can't be screwed, or you shouldn't be screwed. You should know better. So anyway, we had to sue them. But getting back to, I don't even know where I was going with this. Somebody's pointing. How to buy on the Internet. One of my basic rules on the Internet, I'll digress for a minute, is when your site comes up, if I don't see who, what, why, where, how many, how much, I drop it. I want to see the information. So, in fact, I bought this whole program off the Internet, and they didn't meet my rule. They didn't have an address. But they did provide a phone number, which is a bunch of points with me. So I called, and I spoke with the boys I call the Bobbsey twins that run it. And they're kind of twinnish, but they're kind of a little opposite. And they did not BS me in any way. They didn't try and coat me. They said, these are the pluses, these are the minuses. And that's what anybody in the engineering business wants to hear. Pluses and minuses, goods and bads, positives and negatives. Everything is a trade-off. If you want the fastest, largest car, you're not going to get the best gas mileage. So anyway, even though they didn't have their physical address, okay, which is becoming less and less of a deal, who needs brick and mortar, they did answer the phones and went through my filter, so they're not too bad. Now somebody's pointing at what my next topic should be. And it is, we have dead air time. Could I sell it? Oh, that comes under my decision of how to determine who you should trust. So far, I trust these guys. Anyway, we also have an article on vehicle insurances and other things. So let me move on away from consumer because I've wasted too much time. We're going to skip by the cop thing, how they can grab all of your assets and tell you to drop dead, why so many of them are psychopaths and seems to be shooting up the countryside, how they profile women and have what's called get acquainted stops, why the Supreme Court ruled that they're not responsible for public safety. They're only responsible for enforcing the law. I don't know why it says public safety department of. The Supreme Court said it isn't there. That's enough on cops. We have a bunch more, but somebody just said no. Let's see. Food and recipes is usually, to me, boring. But as I said, one of the Bobbsey twins came up with something great. Buy food by color. Somebody else I paid off called in. Who is this?
Yes, I have a question.
You have a question?
Yes.
First of all, how much did I promise to pay you?
I am buying a mobile home from Clayton, and a manufactured home, and they want us to sign the closing paperwork before they start building. And now my dad doesn't think that that's a good idea, so I wanted to see what you thought about it.
Don't? Not until they have everything in place, every detail, and if you want a program on that, we'll write it down on purchasing real estate, particularly mobile homes. Now, Clayton's a national operation. I know who they are. Buffett, the big stock magnate, owns a bunch of their stock. But until everything, and you really have to investigate. I don't know a lot about prefab homes as I do stick-built homes, so I'd have to look into it. But we can come up with a list and add it to the list of how to buy real estate. And how much did I promise to pay you?
Well, nothing, but I'll take any type of free money.
How much?
I said nothing, but I'll take free money.
Well, so, okay, do you mind getting paid in Iraqi dinars?
Sure.
All right, I'll send you 10,000 of them.
I'll plan a trip
there. That sounds great. Go look up how much it's worth. I got to go and get back to my thing. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, we're into foods. We can tell you what foods have important nutrients, what are low fat and cholesterol, like you care. Carbohydrates, protein, all that stuff. But you'd be surprised that there are certain foods that will kill you. And right at the top of the list is any of them that contain artificial sweeteners. I'm going to tell a story, and I'll preface it by saying that this is from recollection. Some of it's hearsay. Quite a bit of it was from actual reports that I saw. But there was a manufacturer of something called aspartame. And a long time ago, and I'm going to have to check this out one of these days because it happened so long ago, they went to the FDA. Now, I don't always agree with the FDA, but they went to the FDA and they sought some type of approval for aspartame as being healthy and safe and that type of thing. And I'm not sure whether they were granted it or they were refused, but if they were granted it, it was revoked shortly thereafter or sometime thereafter. And again, we're going to have to check this out. I don't drink it because it tastes like somebody scraped it off the backside of a dog walk. But at any rate, it seems that a second tier C level, you know, some executive type retired or separated early or something from the FDA, and if my information is accurate, he went to work for the advertising firm or PR firm of the manufacturer of aspartame. And some fairly short time thereafter, 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever, aspartame was approved. That one I'm going to have to check out. But those are some of the types of things that if people care about it and want to know, not a good thing for you. Anyway, let me get off of food and go to health in general. We have some off-the-wall things in health. For example, mouth breathers. What has mouth breathing got to do with health? Well, first of all, it really can run the weight onto your body. Now, what has mouth breathing got to do with putting weight on? Well, when you pick up a glass of any liquid to drink, the minute that you basically tie up the space allotted for breathing, mainly your mouth, you can't get breath through your nose. So I believe at some level your brain says, you better start sucking in air. So what do? You gulp your drink. So you drink maybe 2, 3, 4 times more than you should. The same thing happens with eating, which has two effects. Not only do you eat more by gulping it, but you don't masticate it properly. I think that means chew it up. And so that affects your diet. You get heartburn. You have a bunch of problems. But some of the off-the-wall stuff, why smoking can be good for you under certain conditions, how to lose weight by basically listening to your body and only eating when it tells you you're hungry. Anyway, we have a bunch of those. On investing, which we call gambling, we discuss everything from foreign exchange, simplified, what is it really, The difference between earning a living, making money, and doing something you like. If you remember the movie Casino, the gambler in Casino actually had a website before he died, his views on it. How Warren Buffett really picks his stocks in simple terms. And just a few other maybe outside the cube type of thoughts on it. Religion we don't touch. That's a personal thing. Survival, okay? The three methods for survival on the planet, or at least in America at this time. Here's a good one. You know, do you want to take what I call the job, or do you want to become your own boss? And sometimes being your own boss can be worse than having a job. We have another one that basically discusses how you answer questions. If you've never been an employee and you're going to take the job, what questions you're going to be asked and what you're going to answer. How to prepare to get laid off. And as I said before, resumes are nonsense. What job titles really meaning? We can do an hour, if people will call in, on the fact that there are only four jobs in America. Only four. And what they are and how they operate. Okay? It'll give you a clearer view of what you're doing. So survival is kind of more like bringing in money, employment, whatever it is. Whatever you want to label it. And things that come up day to day that I seem to write about. Today I made notes on the wall to do articles, just to give you an idea, on, where did they go? Oh, here's one. I was printing out some articles and I noticed that my machine said about 3 weeks ago, my printer, my Hewlett Packard Laser Jet 1020, that I was out of toner. And the toner people told me, never, never shake the toner from side to side. Well, I was getting this streak of white on the left-hand side, so I said, well, why don't I shake it to the left, which I did, and I got another 300 or 400 copies out of it. So then it started to do it again. I shook it again. And that's continued for about a week or two. And with all the printing I'm doing, I probably got an extra, guess, 800, 1,000 copies. It finally died today. Little things like that, that 60 seconds, 2 minutes I throw in. Maybe it'll save you 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks, you know, somewhere. Other things that just... maybe they are meaningless. I was watching TV one evening, which I really do, and a man came on with Cheers, and he said, film before a live studio audience. And I said, as opposed to what? A dead studio audience? What, do you come out there with a bunch of cadavers? They don't clap much. Or a commercial the other day for some skin cream, I think it was called Dove, in which they said, we selected 12 real women, as opposed to what, mannequins? Or sometimes, I was just reading the other day about a guy named Bill Maher, or Maher, or whatever, who's a comedian. I've never heard him. And it seems that he is one of the groups, political groups, of which I'm not a member of any political group. He seems to be a liberal. When I read it, he is a liberal. Absolutely. Whatever the liberals are for, he's for. So is there really a Bill Maher, or whatever his name is? Now, he is against and for a dozen items. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm an individual. And believe it or not, there's a couple of them I agree with, and there's some I disagree with. And I notice that anybody that disagrees with him basically is a schmuck. That's what he's basically saying. But everything he says, you can go to the liberal constitution, wherever it is. So who is this guy? He's just a puppet. I'm sure I'm going to hear from him and get sued by him. What I'm trying to say is that what we want to do on this show is teach people to think for themselves, to make their own decisions, not to be influenced. And maybe that's a small niche in America. Maybe it's a large group. I have no idea. But have somewhere to go, to call up, maybe complain about things, rant and rave, but at least find out what you can do not to get screwed. And share your stories. And sometimes we'll even tell you how to correct it. Maybe sometimes you have to sue somebody. But it's looking at things simply. That's what it's all about. Now, I've been talking for 45 or 50 minutes, and even though I'm a great talker, I've been just given a note that I'm to give out my email. And if you want to email to me, it is John Lionson. That's J-O-H-N. L-I-O-N-S-O-N at gmail.com. I suppose the boys at BBS Radio are going to put a page up on their website, and I'll probably have some type of email there. And when they tell me that that's happening, then I'll change the email. And that's – how much time do I have left? Wait a minute. I'm only doing 55 minutes here. And I still have 5 minutes? What am I going to talk about for 5 minutes? Where's Seth now that I really need him?
I'm here.
Well, you had an easy job today. What do we get, 3 calls? I'm only out, what, $4, $6, $8? Are you beginning to understand where I'm coming from, seeing you're going to be playing with this thing with me every couple of weeks?
I'm getting a clue.
Really? I see you running for the hills there. I would like to talk to you later about how we can handle this smoothly, just in case we actually get a whole bunch of calls. And wait a minute, somebody's handing me another one. No, somebody wants me to do a commercial. They haven't paid me a dime. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Forget it. Let me think what else. I guess that's about it. The one thing I do want to mention, and I do want to go over, is basically what is the best time for me to be on the air to reach the most people to help them, and how frequently should I do it? So anybody that's listening, you know, send in, give me your input, get off the air entirely, go away, we don't want to hear from you. You should be on 3 times a week, which is probably the most I could handle. You should be on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. You should be on at this time. You should be on at that time. And I understand from boys I call the Bobbsey Twins over at BBS Radio that it takes years to build an audience. I plan to do it in a year. I said I'll be at 10,000 listeners in a year. They said never happen. That's what I like about them. They're pessimists. Seth, how much time do I have?
4.5 minutes. We started you about 3 minutes late.
Well, you don't have to go right to the minute.
Well, then wrap up whenever you feel comfortable.
Whatever I feel comfortable with. Just a minute. Do you have any suggestions? I have 3 minutes left. No, Sean, somebody's trying to do a commercial for me. I would like to mention one thing about making a decision. I was recently conned and screwed by an insurance company over a vehicle accident. I'm going to tell this story very quickly. A drunk ran into my old truck. The insurance company said, we will pay, go to our auto body shop. The auto body shop said, we want $1,900 to repair it. I went to the auto body shop and said, somebody I know will do it for $250. The auto body shop said, well, so will we. I said, well, you sent in $1,900 to them. And they said, well, that's what their procedures call for. So I called the insurance company, and they said, nope, it's got to be $1,900. That's the way it goes. So I said, okay, give me the $1,900. They said, no, it's totaled. We'll give you $1,150, and if you want to buy the truck back, give us $300. So I did. So now I got the truck back, and I have $850. I went to the auto body shop, paid them the $250, got the truck in good shape, and I got $600 left over. Then I was told it's simple, just apply for a title. Well, guess what, folks? They're putting me through more hoops. The DMV wants a lamp and brake inspection. The county wants some type of a smog inspection. They want me to go and to a police station and do this and that and the other thing. And come to find out, it's going to take me probably 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 hours and $200 or $300 in out-of-pocket fees. So next time somebody says, salvage your vehicle, don't believe them. Anyway, Seth, have I used up my time?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, I'll say goodbye, and I'll be back when? 2 weeks from today, whatever day that is. And if you have a chance, Seth, call me back after and give me your input, okay?
Can do.
Goodbye, folks. Hope to hear from you.